Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's not exactly a rematch. Former Cook County Commissioner Richard Boykin never officially challenged County Board President Toni Preckwinkle for her job 4 years ago, but he was a vocal critic and a political nemesis of hers when it came to board actions. But the two of them are going head-to-head this time in the Democratic primary, and we'll hear from both this weekend. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. Three-term Cook County Board President Toni Preckwinkle's re-election bid this year has her facing Oak Park attorney Richard Boykin. He was on the board from 2014 to 2018, then he lost the seat to Brandon Pope. He's nevertheless been a continuing critic of the incumbent and her policies, especially criticizing her on the issue of crime. This weekend, we'll hear from both of the candidates, and we'll start with Richard Boykin. We spoke via Zoom conferencing. I asked Boykin for his reasons why he feels Toni Preckwinkle needs to be replaced.
Well, there are several things, Craig. First of all, she's been in office now for 11 and a half years. Our communities look horrible. When you look at the fact that gun violence, carjacking, retail thefts, all of these things are terrorizing our neighborhoods. Our children are literally dying in the streets and families are not getting justice. When you look at the fact that there's a mass exodus for the doors at Cook County, 90,000 people left Cook County last year, according to the Census Bureau. The number one reason cited as to why they left was high taxation. So she came in 2010 to reverse the penny Strozier tax. It took her 2 years to reverse it, but then she brought that penny back. And then some, she brought the regressive soda pop tax, which I helped lead the effort to defeat, got rid of the tax on feminine hygiene products as well. And so the reasons why I think, though, that people are going to oust her is because it's been a total failure of leadership. In fact, she doesn't even want to be the county board president. 3 years ago, she ran for mayor. She wants to be mayor of Chicago. And 4 years ago, Craig, she said that that would be her last term as county board president. But all of a sudden now she wants to be county board president again. This is all about nothing more than her wanting to hold on to power as the head of the Democratic Party in Cook County. People need someone who cares about them. The people in the Southland and North suburbs are paying some of the highest property taxes known to mankind. We're paying the highest sales tax in the United States of America. She's made Cook County an island of taxation where we're the highest tax county in the six county region, higher taxes here than in Indiana and the state of Wisconsin. So people look for alternatives to go to those places to buy or purchase their goods and services. We want people staying here in Cook County. I'm going to get our fiscal house in order. I'm going to make sure that we have safe neighborhoods and safe streets so people aren't fearful of going downtown. I'm going to collaborate in a way with the mayor of Chicago that she's failed, especially as it relates to resolving violence. I'm going to go to the meetings and show up. She's a member, a statutory member of ICJA, the Illinois Criminal Justice Information Authority, that is responsible for public safety plans throughout the state. She went to one meeting in the last 4 years. She sent somebody one time in the last 4 years. I will attend those meetings. I will participate on behalf of the people of Cook County. I'm concerned very much about public safety. And, Craig, she's been totally inhospitable to the business community. She hasn't talked to them. She hasn't asked what they need. She hasn't worked with them to grow our businesses in Cook County. In fact, there's been a mass exodus. So I think that when you look at her leadership and on healthcare, she's failed too. She's failed on COVID-19 and that leadership. We've had 15,000 people die from COVID-19. Probably many of them unnecessarily. We've had the highest death rate from COVID in the 6-county region. 1.27% of the people in Cook County have died from COVID. And maybe it's because we're not healthier than people who live in DuPage County, Lake County, Will County, McHenry County, and other surrounding counties. But I will make sure that we're strong physically in our bodies and in our mind. I will invest in a way that she has not, in terms of behavioral health and mental health services and trauma care for people who are traumatized in neighborhoods where we have excessive levels of gun violence, high unemployment, high poverty, these kinds of things. So she's failed in that regard. And of course, the University of Wisconsin did a study in terms of the 102 counties in Illinois and the healthcare systems. They gave, they ranked in 6 areas, 6 categories of wellness, and Cook County ranked 3. They ranked in 3 of the 6 categories near last or at the very bottom. And in only 1 category were we at the top. And LeapFrog actually looked at our healthcare system and other healthcare systems in Illinois. And they ranked Cook County Health and Hospital System with a grade of a C, that's average. Last year, we got a C, that's average. In my book, that's not doing stellar work as the executive of the county that's responsible for 2 things primarily, public safety and public health, and making sure that we meet the needs of the people in our county who are poor and who are impoverished and who are most needy. We aren't doing that right now. There are people today, as I stand before you, Craig, who are actually starving. There are people who are sleeping under bridges and viaducts and tents. We aren't meeting their needs. I will. She's forgotten about those people. I will not forget about them. I will stand with them and I will prioritize them in a way that this administration has not.
Let's talk about those 2 big issues, healthcare and public safety. First, how much actual power does the county government have to reduce crime as opposed to the sheriff's department, the state's attorney, the courts, and frankly, also the Chicago Police Department? Because some of those statistics that you're quoting include Chicago, which is a different jurisdiction.
Yeah, so Chicago is a part of Cook County. It happens to be the largest municipality of the 132 municipalities inside of Cook County. Well, let me say this, that we have a major role to play as the county executive who provides the sheriff with his budget. The county board does. And who provides that budget? The president does. Who provides the state's attorney with her budget? The county board does. Who provides the clerk of the circuit court with her budget? The county board does. Who provides the chief judge with his budget? The county board does. Now, Here's how you know we got the power to do it, Craig. So she always touts the fact that she led the effort to reduce the jail population. Well, you would think that's the sheriff, right? The sheriff is responsible for the jail, the chief judge responsible for the jail. Well, no, she led the effort. I'm glad to have voted for it to reduce the jail population from 10,000 to about 5,500. So that's criminal justice reform. She touts the fact that she got rid of cash bail for people who are seeking the bond out. Well, I would say this, that I voted for that, but I voted to let people out who are in on misdemeanors only, not people who have gun charges. That is a total failure. That's a total disaster. So she touts the fact on criminal justice reform of how she's had this big grandiose role. But what about public safety? What about making sure people are safe in their neighborhoods? What about making sure people are safe to go downtown? 2/3 of the people, according to Black Club Chicago, feel unsafe in Cook County. right now. There were people who were afraid to go downtown because of what happened at the Chicago Theater, what happened at State in Chicago right in front of the McDonald's, the mass shooting just recently. And so when you get people, Craig, who are afraid to go downtown, or when you get people who are fearful, then that cuts into your budget. That cuts into sales tax revenue, which the county depends on in order to balance the budget. And so it's a big issue. Last year, we had over 1,000 people killed in Cook County, the highest number, Craig, in 27 years, over 1,000 people killed, the highest number in 27 years. Do you know that our Cook County medical examiner that we provide the budget for has to do an autopsy on every individual killed in Cook County? They have to do an autopsy, whether they're killed in Harvey, killed in Dalton, killed in Chicago, it does not matter. So we're automatically involved in it. We spend billions of dollars fighting gun violence. The average gunshot case in Cook County Hospital starts at about $55,000. If it's a gunshot wound where somebody's shot in the back and they're paralyzed, that case can be a $1 million case. And so yes, county resources are involved. When I was a county commissioner in 2014, I asked the sheriff, I said, Sheriff Dart, can you police in Chicago? He said, sure, but I need to be invited in to police in Chicago. And so I set up a meeting with the acting superintendent of police and Sheriff Dart. We met at MacArthur's, and that began the relationship that's existed today, where we got policing now provided by the Cook County Sheriff's Police and Chicago Police Department working alongside each other. They set up a command center in Austin. It was part of my district first. Now they got one in River North to help up in River North with some of the police up there. So yeah, the county board executive is involved. But if she went to the meeting, she would understand that. As county board executive, what I would do differently than what she has done is I would convene all of the public safety stakeholders, including the mayor of Chicago, the superintendent of police from Chicago, the governor, and the state police director. And I would say, how can we utilize our budgets together to drive down this violence? What can we do? And we got an $8.1 billion budget in Cook County. We're spending an awful lot of money on violence prevention, awful lot of money on the violence itself. It seemed to me it made good sense to save that money and figure out how do we work in tandem to bring the violence down. The problem is, Craig, she's not a collaborator. She won't collaborate with the mayor of Chicago because they ran against each other for mayor and they don't like each other. And so, you know, I'm a bridge builder. I'll work with anybody. I work with the mayor of Chicago. I work with the mayor of Harvey. I work with the mayor of other jurisdictions around our county. And I won't just put policies on them and mandates on them without their input. I will work with them.
And on the last thing, and because this is something that is being brought up, you've reportedly received donations from some gas stations that participated in mayoral candidate Willie Wilson's gasoline giveaway. You've joined him in some of his campaign appearances. What should voters take away from those connections with you and him?
Well, I think what they should take away is that, my only regret is that not all 60-some-odd gas stations that participated made a contribution to my campaign. I think only a handful did. But you have to also understand, Craig, that these people understand that I'm the guy who got rid of the soda pop tax. I led the effort to get rid of the soda pop tax. I voted against the sales tax increase that made us the highest in the nation. I'm a business-friendly Democrat because I understand it takes businesses to employ people in neighborhoods and to be an economic engine in our neighborhoods. So I think that's why they supported my campaign. I'm proud to have the support of Dr. Willie Wilson for our campaign. I think that I don't know anybody on planet Earth who's given away $3.2 million in free gasoline and free food just most recently to individuals who are in need. I wish that county government would be more proactive in terms of helping those people who are in need. That's why, again, I call for President Preckwinkle to suspend on a temporary basis the gas tax. That will provide some short-term relief for individuals who are struggling to pay these high prices in gasoline and the high food prices. Should take it a step further and also suspend the sales tax, county portion on food as well, because we need relief there.
That's Oak Park lawyer Richard Boykin, a Democratic candidate for Cook County Board President. You are listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore, and we're focusing on the candidates for board president this weekend. Next, we'll hear from the incumbent, Toni Preckwinkle. She was a Chicago alderman before she ran for the board presidency, and we met at the offices of the Cook County Democratic Party. Preckwinkle is the chair of that powerful political organization. I asked her to address Richard Boykin's suggestion that 12 years as board president are enough.
Well, I'm very proud of my record over the last decade. You know, when we came into office, we were facing a fiscal crisis, a budget gap of $487 million, almost $500 million, $500 million, and over the first couple of years in office, we worked very hard to get our finances in order, because I think being fiscally responsible is the first responsibility of anybody who's going to be a good steward. And after we kind of got our finances in better shape, although we've continued to work on that, we began to address some of the substantive challenges that the county has faced. First and foremost, health care. Half of our budget is health care. We have an $8 billion budget the last couple of years. Half of that is health care. And we worked hard to increase access to health care, improve the quality of care that we delivered, and put our health care system on a good financial footing. About 30% of our budget is criminal justice, the jail, and our court system. You know, when I came into office, there were 11,000 people in the jail on a daily basis. A lot of them there for low-level offenses. Misdemeanors, not felonies. Things like low-level drug offenses, not paying their child support, shoplifting. We kept people in jail who were accused of shoplifting because they couldn't pay even nominal cash bonds. At the cost, by the way, to the county of $162 a day. That's what it costs us to keep somebody in jail. So we worked hard with all the stakeholders beginning in about 2013. The chief judge, the sheriff, the state's attorney, the public defender, and the clerk of the court. We worked hard with all of them to try to figure out how we could improve the delivery of justice in Cook County. And I'm very grateful to all of those stakeholders for their good work. We now have a jail population that is about 6,000, so it's almost been cut in half. And those people who are accused of more serious crimes are the ones that are in jail. And I think it's important for everybody to remember that our jail is overwhelmingly people accused, not convicted of crimes. They are detainees. They're not prisoners. If you're convicted of a crime, you go to the Illinois Department of Corrections. But our jail is for pretrial detention, And I'm proud of the work we've done to reduce the number of people. You know, if you're wealthy, you could pay the $100, the $500, the $1,000 bond. But if you're a poor person and you couldn't pay it, again, you're not convicted. You're accused only. You stayed in jail until your case was adjudicated. So that I'm grateful for the support we've gotten for that good work. And the third thing that I always try to talk about is the fact that in addition to our legacy responsibilities in public health and public safety, I've also focused on economic development. And the county wasn't really an actor, an important player in that arena. We had departments of community development, capital development, building and zoning, but they didn't work together. And I'm proud of the fact that we created, put together a department and got everybody to work together in previously siloed entities to have a comprehensive economic development strategy for Cook County. And we focused on the Southland because what I learned early on was those regions of the country that have the least inequality are the most economically vibrant. And one of the challenges in Cook County and northeastern Illinois is tremendous inequality. And the part of our county that's most challenged is the Southland, the South Suburbs. So we've devoted a lot of resources there. Infrastructure investments, investments in affordable housing, investments in the creation of a development authority so we could have an entity that's focused on attraction and retention of businesses there. And I'm proud of all that good work. So getting the fiscal house in order, working on improving the quality of health care we deliver, improving our criminal justice system, and then trying to focus more on economic development are all things I'm proud of.
Well, Let's talk a little bit about criminal justice reform, because obviously with crime being as elevated as it has been over the last year or so, it's a topic that a lot of people are interested in. Obviously, the fear of a lot of people is that people who are dangerous will get out before they are adjudicated. And so, and there are still complaints about that, that sometimes people are still dangerous and back out on the streets. What kind of assurances or what can more can be done to limit the number of people who are going to commit more mayhem and violence?
Well, if you recall, in 2016, we had a really difficult year in Chicago and Cook County. There was a spike in shootings and murders. And the philanthropic community and government got together to try to address that challenge. Both the city and the county put more money into violence prevention, anti-recidivism efforts, that's trying to keep people who've been in jail or prison from going back, and then restorative justice work, trying to settle some of these minor crimes in communities rather than putting them in the criminal justice system. So 2016, we saw a spike in violence. 2017, 2018, 2019, as a result of the concerted efforts of both the philanthropic community and government, we saw declines in violent crime. And then the pandemic hit. And all across the country, not just in Chicago, there was just almost a vertical increase in crime. The 15 largest cities in the country all experienced dramatic increases in murders and shootings and carjackings. What I try to say is, you know, this is an indication of how stressful this was on everybody. You know, we saw upticks in people struggling with mental illness. We saw, as I said, increases in violent crimes. I don't know about you, but I see a lot more people driving crazy. You know, there's a lot more graffiti. I mean, I usually say, you know, the society is kind of fraying at the edges under all these stresses. It's not just the deaths and the illnesses from the pandemic, but the economic collapse and the insecurity that created for people. Not only people losing their jobs, people having their work hours reduced, lots of people struggling with paying their mortgage or their rent, food insecurity. I mean, every challenge that you can think of to a community we endured over the last couple years. And I know that people are concerned about the violence. You know, one of members of my detail, somebody tried to carjack him right outside my house. I mean, this is not something from which I'm unfamiliar. But I think we have to understand that we have to deal with this both locally, in terms of local police interactions with communities, and we have to have a longer-term strategy to invest in the communities that are the most violent, because of the same communities that have under-resourced schools, high levels of unemployment, high levels of poverty. Unless we have both an immediate strategy of police activity and a medium and long-term strategy of trying to rebuild and sustain communities that are struggling, we're not going to be able to address it. And I would also point out, you know, black and brown communities have been struggling with high levels of violence for a very long time. What's unique about the present moment is for the last couple of years, that violence has spread and spilled out into communities that have not previously had that experience, and that's been tremendously challenging to those folks.
How much cooperation is there among this Chicago, whether it's the police department and agencies and the county, to have a coordinated response to the crime?
Well, the American Rescue Plan Act resources, $1 billion for Cook County, $2 billion for the city, and $16 billion for the state, have been a tremendous resource for investing in community-based organizations that are struggling at the grassroots level to deal with the violence. And the city and the county and the state have been meeting for months to try to be sure that the investments we make are complementary rather than duplicative, and that work will continue. And I find that very encouraging. So I'm grateful for the fact that we're cooperatively looking at how we make these investments, because, you know, this is more resources than local governments have had at any time since the Great Depression, so for almost 100 years. And let me just say, for the county, and I can't speak for others, you know, we have been working closely with academics at Loyola University, and we have plans to work with other educational institutions to look at the impacts of the work we're doing. And the Loyola research, for example, has said that it's not cash bond, changes in our cash bond policies, or changes in electronic monitoring that have been the cause of the spikes in violence. As a matter of fact, we saw these downward trends 2017, 2018, 2019, as we were instituting some of these criminal justice reforms. We saw these downward trends until the pandemic, and the pandemic has just turned everything upside down.
Let's talk about the economy, because when people aren't complaining about the crime, they're complaining about prices either at the pump or at the in the stores. And when we spoke with Richard Boykin, he said this is the highest taxed county in the country, and among other things, he's calling for a suspension of the gas tax. For people who may not see exactly or know the ins and outs of how government works, that sounds like a pretty good idea. What do you say to people when someone says, we can lower your taxes on gasoline, the county portion?
Well, first of all, let me just say, you know, the macroeconomic challenges that we face, are local units of government can have very little impact on them. The President of the United States even is having, you know, difficulty dealing with the high levels of inflation that we face. These are global conditions. It's not just us that's facing, here in the United States, that's facing high levels of inflation, supply chain issues. It's everywhere in the country, everywhere in the world. So that's the first thing. You know, the second thing is we've got some real challenges in this country around infrastructure. I don't know about you, but, you know, if you drive down our streets, you know, clearly we got pothole problems and repaving issues. And the principal resource that we have to deal with infrastructure is motor fuel taxes. And if we decide that we're not going to collect motor fuel taxes, we don't have the resources to fix the infrastructure. And the infrastructure is the basis of the economy. You know, the poorest countries in the world don't have good roads, they don't have good rail access, they don't have good airports. If you're a developed country, you have to invest in your infrastructure if you're going to maintain your standard of living and economic conditions that promote growth. So, you know, I think it's just pandering, saying the couple cents that the county charges on gas tax is pretty modest, but it's an important resource collectively for the county to address the infrastructure needs that we have. So my thought is, frankly, that, you know, suggesting that we reduce the gas tax is misguided and bad public policy.
Let me ask you as the last thing, what are the next priorities? Is it just a matter of getting through what we're going through right now, or are there some things that are on your to-do list?
Well, you know, we're going to make the investments that we've always made in infrastructure and affordable housing and social services. But there are three things that I've talked about that we're going to use our American Rescue Plan Act money, the federal resources, for, which I think are potential to be transformative. The first is we're going to dramatically increase our investments in mental health, behavioral health services. For 180 years, we've had a public health system, but we focused almost entirely on physical health. And we're going to have a behavioral health department. We're going to staff it up. We're going to do an asset inventory, figure out what the needs are, and then try to help fill them as government. And we know, for example, that we don't have enough inpatient beds for people who are struggling with mental illness, especially young people, especially children. So that's one example, but we're going to invest more in behavioral health. We talked a couple weeks ago about a guaranteed income pilot. You know, 50 years ago, Martin Luther King said, we ought to have guaranteed income in this country. You know, we need to support our residents, particularly residents who are struggling. And we're going to be able to assist 3,250 families in a two-year pilot, and we've committed to continue the program with county resources after the federal money is gone. So behavioral health investments, guaranteed income, and then medical debt. The principal reason that ordinary working people declare bankruptcy is they can't pay their medical bills. So we're going to intervene in that process, work with the providers and collection agencies, and help people wipe out their medical debt and restore their financial stability. So I'm enthusiastic about the opportunities that are in front of us. As I said, these are historic federal investments in our residents and local governments, and I look forward to working with the Board of Commissioners to implement some transformative plans.
That was incumbent Cook County Board President Toni Preckwinkle. She faces Richard Boykin in the Democratic primary for that job on June 28th. I would like to thank both of the candidates for speaking with me. To our listeners, if you like a copy of this program or to hear it again, please visit our website, WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage. You can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Dellamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.